Timothy McVeigh is the first person to face the federal death penalty since 1963, but more executions may follow quickly. Unless the Supreme Court steps in, prison authorities plan to put Juan Raul Garza to death next week. He's a convicted drug runner and killer. He's one of 23 men on the federal death row. Weekend Edition legal affairs advisor Mimi Wesson is a law professor at the University of Colorado, and she joins us from Boulder. Hello, Mimi.
Hi, how are you, Steve?
Doing fine. How is Timothy McVeigh different from some of the other federal death row inmates?
Well, most obviously, I suppose he's of a different race from the vast majority of them. Of those who are currently on federal death row facing execution, 85% are African American or Latino. A very small number of them are white, like Mr. McVeigh.
And the nature of his crime is different as well, isn't it?
Certainly. No one came close to having the number of victims that he had.
Is one type of federal crime more likely than another to actually be punished by execution?
Yes, all of the men on federal death row now have committed at least one murder, but the crime is a federal one and was prosecuted in the federal courts because the murder was connected to the commission of some other federal crime, like a drug offense or perhaps kidnapping or bank robbery, or because it was committed on a federal reservation, land over which the federal government has exclusive criminal jurisdiction.
There are other crimes which could receive the federal death penalty, which I gather have been a little less likely to go that way, spying cases and so forth.
That's right. Espionage and treason, in theory, qualify for the death penalty, but it's very rare. In fact, I can't remember a death penalty prosecution for those crimes. I think that's usually because persons who are arrested and charged with espionage have something that's of great value to the government to bargain with. That is, they know what secrets they've disclosed and to whom. They may know whether there are any other traitors like them in their organization or agency. They may know when or whether any other government agents have been compromised or their identities have been disclosed. So they're in a much better bargaining position than a run-of-the-mill bank robber.
Now, you mentioned that the vast majority of the 23 men, and they are all men on death row, are minorities. On the surface, it seems like a racial imbalance. Now, the Justice Department recently came out with a study of death row cases. What did they find?
Well, the recent study, and I do mean recent, it was released just a few days ago, suggests that there are non-discriminatory reasons for this overwhelming predominance of minority defendants on federal death row. They suggested that of cases that were referred to the Attorney General for permission to seek the death penalty, white defendants actually were more likely to be approved for death penalty prosecutions than were African American or Hispanics. But critics of this report point out it really doesn't get to the serious question, which is, why do some U.S. attorneys, some federal prosecutors, seek the death penalty so much more often than others?
Why?
Well, no one really knows the reason. The report points out that 40% of all petitions for permission to seek the death penalty from federal prosecutors came from only 5 federal judicial districts. That's 5 out of 94. So an enormous number from a very small number of districts. The report suggests that there might be some not obvious but not discriminatory reasons for this. For example, one of the districts is Puerto Rico, refers obviously almost completely Hispanic defendants because that represents the population of Puerto Rico. The report suggests that the reason for this is an agreement between the local and the federal authorities in Puerto Rico that the feds will prosecute all of the fatal carjackings, apparently an important crime in Puerto Rico. So it goes through each of the districts that's responsible for this large number of prosecutions and suggests a similar non-discriminatory reason that might account for their predominance.
NPR's Barbara Bradley, our Justice Department reporter, came up with another interesting fact after this study this past week. Half of all whites who were charged with death penalty crimes were allowed to plead down to a lesser sentence. They had an opportunity to plea bargain, but only a fourth of blacks and Hispanics were given the same opportunity.
Yes, and this new report addresses that criticism as well and suggests that it's really not within the government's power to conclude a plea bargain or not. That's up to the defendant, whether they'll participate, cooperate in a plea bargaining negotiation. And since it's not really a unilateral decision by the government, one shouldn't draw too many conclusions from the statistics that you mentioned. But questions like why is a plea bargain offered to one defendant and not another, whether race is a factor in that's inherently hard to reach by a study of this type. You're trying to find out what's going on in the mind of a prosecutor, in the mind of an important decision maker. And looking behind someone's conduct to discern his motives is difficult in the best of circumstances and may be impossible here.
Okay, Weekend Edition legal affairs advisor and University of Colorado law professor Mimi Wesson is the author of a novel, A Suggestion of Death. Mimi, thanks very much.
Thank you, Steve.